We are very pleased now to be joined by Judy Batista of NFL.com and the NFL Network. Judy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having the tent over us.
Yeah, that definitely helps. It doesn't help so much when it's this humid, though, does it? It helped. More so than the clouds, but it's pretty hot. Luckily, you weren't here during the torrential downpour stage of training camp. That was a challenge.
That was no fun.
As well, yeah.
My room still smells like a wet dog. It's just.
Yeah, well, yeah. That it smelled like that before the rain did.
Well, yeah.
Come on. Judy, you told us off the air that you had just made your trip to New England's camp, and then you went to Philadelphia. Obviously, Steelers fans always concerned with both of those teams, but more New England in particular. Jimmy Garoppolo getting all the snaps right now. What's that situation like?
They are dividing the snaps pretty evenly between Garoppolo and Tom Brady. There is like a chopper directly over our head.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can hear it, but Garoppolo and Brady are sharing the snaps pretty evenly right now, and Belichick has indicated that as you get further along into training camp and then into the preseason, they will start the shift toward Garoppolo. He's looked good. Brady has looked good, of course, but I think we'll get a better feel for it, when the preseason games start. Belichick, not surprisingly, hasn't given indication of how he's going to manage the preseason game snaps. This is kind of a weird situation. I mean, you've obviously got to get Brady ready, too. He needs time. And then he's going to have a month hiatus. So you got to get him some snaps. But, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo has had like a handful of snaps as an NFL quarterback. So he's going to get heavy, heavy rotation to get ready.
Yeah, he nearly needs to get like the Steelers did last year with Landry Jones, where he had like 120 passes in the preseason last year. But you have to balance that. You don't want to get the guy hurt.
Correct, because they've got a rookie behind him. They have not so far brought in a veteran quarterback to be a backup. So, I mean, the safety net is really thin there. You obviously have to protect Garoppolo's health. Otherwise, you're looking at Jacoby Brissett as your starter for the New England Patriots, which is sort of unbelievable.
They'll still find a way to win. Those guys, they always do. Well, and actually that brings me to a legit question, though. How do you see that suspension shifting the balance of power in the AFC, if at all?
I don't think it shifts the balance in the AFC East at all. I think they win the East anyway. I think if it affects anything, it affects home field advantage in the playoffs. I would be surprised if they go worse than 2-2 with Garoppolo in there, mostly because they have three games at home, and that's an enormous advantage, as you know, for an inexperienced quarterback. He won't have to deal with a hostile crowd. Two of those games are division games, and they're against teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. Plus, they may get the Houston Texans without J.J. Watt or with a compromised J.J. Watt at best. So the schedule breaks really well for them. So I think, does it shift anything? At most, I think it shifts home field advantage because, let's face it, once Tom Brady's back on the field for 12 games, it's entirely conceivable they win all 12 games with Brady under center. So, I think at most it affects, playoff seeding.
And Judy, I think we saw when the Steelers had Ben Roethlisberger under suspension in 2010, the rest of the team kind of picks up its game a little bit.
Correct.
They won games with Dennis Dixon at quarterback.
Right.
Charlie Batch at quarterback. Went 3-1. Very easily could have gone 4-0 in that stretch. So you see the team kind of pick things up.
This is not like an injury. They have had not just one offseason to prepare for it, but two offseasons.
Right.
Let's face it, at this time last year, they weren't sure Brady was starting all 16 games. So Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels have had a lot of time to evaluate evaluate Garoppolo, what he's good at, what he's comfortable doing, what they can do around him. That's a lot of time to give those coaches to prepare a game plan. I suspect we will see a heavier emphasis, at least initially, on the running game until they feel Garoppolo is comfortable. They'll lean on the defense more, I don't think it's going to be that much of a cataclysmic event for them because they've had so much time to get ready for it. And, and the schedule, it's a quirky schedule, but it breaks well for the Patriots.
Judy Batista of NFL.com and the NFL Network joining us here on SNR. Adam Crowley and Dale Lally here with you until 2 o'clock. Missy Matthews picks up with me at 2. Judy, I've said the same thing, that really the Tom Brady suspension is going to affect how things play out in terms of seeding. And I think the Steelers are going to be one of those teams vying for home field advantage in the AFC. But after those two teams, I look at a bunch of teams that are flawed. Not that the Steelers aren't flawed, not that the Patriots don't have their flaws, but I don't know who that next wave of teams are in the AFC.
I agree with you, because I think all of the teams that you would sort of name check as being obvious ones have issues and significant issues. Obviously, the Denver Broncos, you would say they're the defending champion. They have this incredible defense. But Mark Sanchez appears to be their starting quarterback, and that may be fine. You know, I, again, suspect they will lean more on the running game. They will do things that Mark Sanchez is good at doing. But I, you
what
know,
would those be, Judy?
Well, you know, he's obviously going to have to cut down on mistakes, and I say this just from having watched him with the Jets for so long. I mean, they're going to have to minimize his mistakes. Having said that, to be harsh, they did not have great quarterback play last year when they won the Super Bowl. Yes, they had Peyton Manning, who is as smart a quarterback as has ever walked the earth, but he was clearly a declining Peyton Manning. You know, and Brock Osweiler lost his starting job to a declining Peyton Manning. They were not; they were getting middling quarterback play. It was all defense there.
But what,
at the end.
But what Manning didn't do in the playoffs was make those turnovers.
That's exactly right, which is why he got his job back,
right.
Because they knew he's not going to make mistakes. He manages the game. That's the question. Can they get Mark Sanchez to a point where you don't have to do anything great? You don't have to throw it away. Just don't mess it up.
No defense, butt fumbles.
Oh, gosh, yes. Don't even bring that up. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they manage the situation. Then you've got the Chiefs, who I think are a possible playoff team. But, you know, you always sort of say, like, can they – yeah, they can get in. Can they make a run, though? I don't know. The Raiders are certainly an up-and-coming team. You know, I think we all want to see them pull it together before you say, okay. But they've got a lot of young talent, and they are certainly on the rise. You know, can the Jets sneak in as a wild card? Maybe now that Ryan Fitzpatrick is back. They were awfully close last year.
Steelers fans know that all too well.
Really, really close. So I don't know who I would pencil in, you know, other than, this, I would say, the Steelers and the Patriots. The Steelers and the Patriots, if I had to make my picks right now, you know, not counting anything that's going to happen in the preseason injury-wise.
Sure.
Those would be my teams to go to the AFC Championship game if I were picking today.
I still think the Bengals are a decent team. You wonder about Andy Dalton. He hasn't won a playoff game.
Right.
And, you know, they lost a couple of those receivers. But to me, the big thing with them is they lost six coaches in the offseason.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an adjustment.
Yeah, that's tough. And, again, in a way, I feel about them the way I feel about the Raiders a little bit. I got to see them
do it.
I need to see them win a playoff game before I say, okay, now, you know, they're a contender.
You think there are more good teams, and I don't know really how to define that, but do you think that the NFC from top to bottom is the deeper conference, or maybe not necessarily from top to bottom, but in terms of their contenders compared with the AFC contenders?
I feel like we go back and forth on this every few years, like which is the stronger conference. I'm trying to think. I mean, it's hard to say that when the defending champion is the AFC
also
team.
Also true.
And the champion before that was the AFC team, come to think of it. I guess top to bottom, you'd say that the NFC has stronger teams, but I don't know. When Tom Brady is, you know, I'm trying to look at, like, the best quarterbacks in the league right now. You know, Brady, Ben, obviously. Like, looking at the AFC quarterbacks.
That's true. And see, we had talked about this the other day, and you look at the AFC quarterbacks, it's Ben Roethlisberger and it's Brady. And then you start thinking, who's next now? Because
Flacco's been to a Super Bowl.
But he's been off the ACL. Right.
Although he looks good.
Does
he looks good off the ACL, yes. I don't think that'll be an issue anymore for him.
What do you think about them then this year, the Ravens?
Yeah, I'm glad we brought them up because I had forgotten them. But yes, I would say they're probably they're going to make a push for the playoffs because I think Flacco is going to be fine. It's hard for me to imagine that the Ravens stay down for too long. They're just too good a team. Ozzie Newsome is too good a GM, and John Harbaugh is too good a coach. So it's hard for me to imagine that they, you know, fall apart 2 years in a row. So I would say they make a push for the playoffs too.
You were just at Eagles camp on the other side of the state. They are going through a lot of changes.
Is this a team?
It is an understatement. Is this a team that this year it's going to be one of those things where let's try to get things on track so that we have a direction moving forward, or are there some higher expectations there?
Well, here's the thing. The NFC East, and I say this as somebody who lives in New York.
Right.
The NFC East is such a mess from week to week that, you know, you could say, yeah, it's a rebuilding year for the Eagles, and they could still be the division champions. So who knows? I'll say this. It's there's been a lot of change there, but it looks awful lot like the Andy Reid era. I mean, they are practicing the way Andy used to practice there. It's a throwback there. It's a little strange with their quarterback situation, obviously, but I think they are adamant. They mean it when they say they want Sam Bradford to be the starter this season, all season. They do not want to have to play Carson Wentz. They want him to be able to learn slowly. They keep citing, when you ask them, they keep citing, you know, all of the great quarterbacks who sat, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Eli Manning. Could it be a rebuilding year? Yeah, I mean, they've obviously had tremendous personnel turnover. I mean, they have wiped out so many marks of the Chip Kelly era, including motivational signs that he had on the wall. Gone. It's like he never existed. But again, you know, the NFC East is so fragile a division. You don't know what the Giants are going to be. You don't know what the Cowboys are going to be, especially now that their backup quarterback just got lost for the season. You know, we know Romo's injury history. So, you know, who knows? It could be a rebuilding year, and it also could be a championship year in Philadelphia.
Tornado coming through San Quentin College in Latrobe. And
wow.
Dale's doing a good job of holding our tent in place, so we have it kind of locked down, but... Hey, you never know where this. We don't want it to wind up down there on the field,
right.
Certainly.
Or in Johnstown.
No, yeah. You don't want that to wind up in Johnstown at all. You told me a story about a tornado that took some of your things and threw them to Johnstown.
But it was things that came through. I was finding stuff in my parents' yard from places that I knew were 60 miles away. So
wow. Let's not have that.
Yeah, let's not have that happen. Not when Judy's here. I mean, at least let Judy leave.
let me get done with my segment.
Yeah. You mentioned Carson Wentz and that they don't want to play him this year. I'm sure that if they're 2-6, Eagles fans will be really quiet about that.
Yeah, well, that's a question that I asked them. So, you know, or forget about 2-6. Like, if Sam Bradford goes down in the middle of the season.
Which, that never happens.
I mean, you know, you hate to say it, but certainly that's his history. Are you really going with Chase Daniels instead of, you know, the guy you just mortgaged the future for? We'll see. But I think they do not want to have to pressure Carson Wentz. And he is the future of the franchise. There's no question about it. You know, but he's got a lot to learn. I mean, even Doug Peterson was talking about just the mechanics that they're working on with him. Like, keeping his feet set. He says he gets a little jumpy, a little hoppy. He stands too upright. They got to teach him to crouch down a little bit more, all of which affects his accuracy. You could see him at the practice I was at. There were some passes that he threaded in traffic. It looked great. And then there were some that, you know, flew over the guy's head that you're like, what was he aiming for there? You know, so he's a work in progress. And I think they don't want to put him into a situation where then you have to worry about the guy's confidence if they get beaten up a little bit, you know, and then you have to work on that. I mean, you know, if it's week 8 and Sam Bradford goes down or they're 2-6 and, you know, the offense is a catastrophe, are they really putting Chase Daniel in there? We'll see. Yeah, I don't know how Eagles fans will accept that.
It's interesting.
I'll just add this. When Carson Wentz came in to take 11-on-11 at the practice the other day, it was an open practice at Lincoln Financial Field, so there were like 25,000 fans there, and that was the loudest cheer of the day when Wentz came on the field. Not for Bradford, not for Chase, but like Wentz comes out there for 11-on-11, woo! You know, so.
But, you know, it's interesting because I don't think there's a set rule on how that's going to work. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger obviously played 2 games into his career that he was fine. You see a guy like an RG3 come out and tear it up his first year and then kind of fall off the face of the earth.
Right.
Blake Bortles comes in, struggles his first year, but last year throws 35 touchdown passes. You know, I think it depends on the guy, really, to me, as opposed to there's a hard, set, fast rule on that.
It depends on the guy, and certainly he came from a smaller school. You know, he wasn't competing at the top level of college football. It also depends on the organization. You know, like Steelers fans are spoiled, but like this is an organization that has a lot of patience and is willing to invest the time and resources into developing players and understanding it may take them a while. And I think the Eagles feel that way, genuinely feel that way, that they want to invest the time in Wentz and get it right because he is the future. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them. They invested a lot in draft picks to get Wentz. And so, you know, at some point you're going to want to see, you know, and as I said, Howie Roseman, when I talked to him, cited all of the examples that we can all rattle off of quarterbacks who have thrived because they sat on the bench and learned, Aaron Rodgers, Eli, et cetera, Tom Brady. But there's also a lot of quarterbacks who got thrown in right away who've
Russell
done just
Wilson
fine.
Did okay.
Russell
right.
Wilson,
yeah.
Cam Newton. I mean, you know, these are top quarterbacks who got thrown into the fire. They learned on the job. Maybe they didn't look so great in the beginning, but they got all of that out of their system. And so, you know, I think it just depends on what the situation is of the franchise as well as what the guy is.
Judy, great stuff. Covered a lot of ground all over the place here. Love it. Thank
That's
you for coming on. Yep, one of the best. And we'll enjoy your work on NFL.com. We'll see you on the NFL Network. And don't get whisked away by the wind here.
No. Look, the sky is clearing. It's fine.